Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Dalet. We begin four lines from the top, Nun Dalet Omid Aleph, quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Erev Shabbos, Shabbosol Chachag, Mechule. You have the situation where Erev Shabbos comes out during Yom Tov. So we said that you blew a certain amount of blasts, in this situation, a total of 48, and that was the maximum number that ever could be blown. Now, the Mishnah described how you reached that 48, and it said that basically you did not blow three blasts that we had previously said that would be blown on the 10th step of the 15 steps of the Shir HaMalos steps. So the question that the Gemara says, Vilu Lamalo Asiris Loktani, it doesn't mention in our Mishnah that three blasts that were blown at that 10th step. So who is the author of our Mishnah? Masnisin Mani. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he did Tanya, because he doesn't hold that you blow on that 10th step. Again, we had a machlokis yesterday where that means a 10th from the top or the 10th from the bottom, but our Mishnah doesn't mention that you blow at that 10th step, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agrees with that. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he must be the author of our Mishnah, the Tanya, Shalosh Lemalo Asiris. He says the Tanakhama in this Brisa says that you blow three on the 10th step, like we had previously mentioned, but Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov in there, no, you don't blow those three on the 10th step. Ella, what do you do? Omer Shalosh Al Gabi Mizbeach, that you blow the three blasts at the time that you put the Aravos next to the Mizbeach, when you stand them up on the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the Gemara points out that the one who says, Homer Lamalo Asiris, the opinion that says that you blow three blasts while staying on this 10th step, doesn't hold, Eino Omer Agabi Mizbeach, doesn't hold that you blow the blasts that are blown during the placing of the Arava on the Mizbeach, or Eitzel HaMizbeach. And obviously, Homer Agabi Mizbeach, this opinion, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that says that you blow three blasts when you place the Arava on the Yesod of the Mizbeach, and adjacent lie against the rest of the top of the Mizbeach, that opinion, Homer Agabi Mizbeach, obviously, Eino Omer Lamala Siris. They both agree that there are only 48 total blasts, and each of them includes three and deletes three. So those two are not the same opinion. That's what the Gemara says. Now, why does each one say that you blow the blast at the point that you do? One on the 10th step and one when you put the Arava adjacent leaning on the Mizbeach. What's the reasoning for each opinion? My time to Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov, what is his reasoning that says that you do not blow on the 10th step, but you blow when you lean the Arava against the Mizbeach? Kivan to talk alipsicha sharim, he says the purpose of these blasts is when you open up the gates. When you open up the Shar Niknar, that's when you blew the top three blasts. The bottom three blasts, you blew when you opened up the gates that were going towards the Mizrach side of the Ezras Noshim. You blew the three blasts at the bottom when you reached the courtyard, and you kept on blowing until you reached the Mizrach gates. So these blasts are for opening of gates. So Kivan the Toka Lepsichas Sha'arim Lamala Siris Lomali the Toka. What gate is there on the 10th step? So therefore there's no purpose in blowing at that 10th step. And therefore, I love Sharhu. It's not a Shar at that point. And Hilkach Al-Gabe HaMizbeach Adiv. Therefore, when you have these three blasts to blow, it says it makes more sense to blow them at the time that you are putting the Arava Eitzel HaMizbeach. Rabban and Sabri, they disagree. The Tanakhama over here, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Chachamim, they say no. Kivan to talk Elibilu Yamayim, since you've already blown one time three blasts when you went to get the water from the Shiloach, so Al-Gabe HaMizbeach Lomali. Rashi explains what's the purpose then of blowing for the Arava if you've already blown for the Milui Hamayim. Rashi explains, Kol Tekios Halalu Shoshara Elyon Vahatachton, those three blasts that you blew at the top when you're coming in from Shar Niknar, and at the bottom when you hit the Ezras Noshim floor and you're going and blowing until you reach the Mizrach Shar of the Ezras Noshim, so the purpose of that is for the water. That's for Nisuch Hamayim. And therefore, Mishum Milui Hamayim. So when you go and take the water, so they blew the three blasts then when they took the actual water from the Shiloach. So therefore, Hilkach Li'arava Lomali Tekia. So why is there three blasts for the Arava? What does that have to do with the Nisuch Hamayim? Ha Kohani Tekios de Musafim Bechag Einun Ela Mishum V'Shap Demayim B'Sasol. They have to be related to the water, and the Arava is not directly related to the Nisuch Hamayim. And therefore, Hilkach Holu Gemiri Cheshbon HaTekios Bechag. since we're counting here specifically the 48 blasts that were blown on the Chag, and we're saying that these 12 blasts were for the Nisuch HaMayim, so therefore, those that you blew on the Ma'ala Asiris are Odif Lemevat. Those are the more appropriate ones because they are dealing with Nisuch HaMayim. The Muchach HaMilsa Shehem Mishum Miloy HaMayim. Shotokei LeKulon Advar HaMiloy. Kiseder. And this is the right way that you should be doing it. And therefore, Umala Asiris Mishum DeBemako Mesuyim Ba'amuhu. Lay the Hechon Token Osam. And therefore, these blasts on the 10th step, which we explained, were Kineged, the Yud, and the Hay, that David HaMelech threw the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Tehom to stop the waters from rising. So therefore, this is more important. It's Odif than blowing three blasts that have nothing to do with the Nisuch HaMayim for placing the Arava Eitz HaMizbeach. That is the understanding that the Gemara has in the first Pshat in Rashi. Then Rashi tells us, Vanisha Mati, I heard another Pshat, that Shalosh Legabi Mizbeach, he says that the three that they blew when they were bringing the water from the Mei Shaloach, those were the same three that were placing the Arava Eitz HaMizbeach. And therefore, V'hochi Garsin, Ligabi Mizbeach Lomeli, D'toka Ha'tokale Bishas Nisuch HaMayim. So therefore, the blasts that were for the three that they put the Arava Eitz HaMizbeach were already incorporated, were already included. Those are the three blasts of the Shiloach, that you went to get the water from the Shiloach. They occurred simultaneously. And therefore, Rashi concludes, and he says, it must be that the Gabe Zekipa Sarava is Be'ez Shemolich and Hamayim Lamizbeachi. And therefore, that would be why there's no reason to blow for the placing of the Arava. You already had blasts for the placing of the Arava, and those were the same blasts as for the Holech Hamayim, when you bring the Mayim from the Shiloach. In any event, that explains why each opinion doesn't hold from the other opinion. The one that says you blew the blast for the 10th step, so you, it was more odd if you didn't have separate blasts for the Zekifa Sarava. And the one that said, no, we're doing this for each of the opening of the Sha'arim, that's the purpose, and therefore there's no purpose on the 10th step, and therefore it makes more sense, according to Elazar ben Yaakov, to do it by the Zekifa Sarava. This is the explanation. Now the Gemara moves on to another discussion. When Rabbi Acher bar Chanina came from the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, and he said, he brought the following braisa with him. He took it in his hand, so to say. The braisa tells us, the darshan's the pasuk from Bamidbar, where it says, Uvnei Aaron HaKohanim Yisku B'chatzotzros. The pasuk tells us that the Kohanim, the Bnei Aaron, had to go blow blasts on these chatzotzros, trumpets. Again, it's not a shofar that they're blowing over here. All of these blasts that we've been referring to are with chatzotzros. Then the Gemara asks, why did it have to tell me that they yitzku, that they blew these blasts? She'ain Talmud Lomar yitzku, it didn't have to tell me that they blew these blasts, because we already knew that they did these tikios. She'kfar ne'mar uskatem b'chatzotzos. So it already taught us that you had to blow blasts when you were bringing these korbanos. So what was the purpose of saying again, Uvnei Aaron HaKohanim Yisku B'chatzotzros? So the Gemara answers, Uma Talmud Lomar yisku, what was the purpose of telling it to us again? The purpose was, Hakol lefi hamusafim token, to teach us that they blew during the musafim. Now, what's the chiddush over here? So, Rav Acha bar Chanina, who was the one that brought this brisa from Eretz Yisrael, from the south of Eretz Yisrael, who taught it law, he taught us this brisa, v'omala, and he explained this brisa. He said, when it says hakol lefi hamusafim token, it means lomar shetokin al kol musaf v'musaf. Rav Acha bar Chanina's drush over here was that for each carbon musaf, they had to blow 9 blasts. Now, this would mean that if you brought more than one carbon musaf on a day, so then you would have to blow 9 separate blasts for each carbon musaf that you brought. So when it's Rosh Chodesh, regular weekday, you blow 9 blasts. But if Rosh Chodesh would come out on Shabbos, so you blew 9 blasts for the carbon of Rosh Chodesh, the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, but then there's also musaf Shabbos. So therefore, you blow 9 blasts for each of them. You can't just blow one set of blasts for, quote, the carbon musafs of that day. Each carbon musaf, according to Rav Acha bar Chanina, required its own series of yisku b'chatzotzros, and that's the purpose of the extra pasuk. More questions is Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, erev Shabbos shebesoch hachag, when you have the Chol HaMoed that is Friday, and it's during the Yontif of Sukkis, hayu sham arboim ushmona. We said that that was the maximum number of blasts that you could ever have. That was 48. Now, if what Rav Acha bar Chanina is telling us is correct, so then wait a second, how did you get to that number? Im Isa, if he is right, so then there is a higher number than 48 that you could reach. If that we bring a separate 9 blasts for each carbon musaf that we bring, so then when you do the calculation, as we had done, we said that the 48 blasts on Erev Shabbos is Socha Chag, but if you're saying that Rav Acha bar Chanina is right, so then you would actually bring an extra 3 blasts, you could get up to 51 on Shabbos that comes out during the Chag, because as we'll calculate now, if this is correct, v'miso listening Shabbos v'socha Chag, that mishkachas lo chamishim v'chag, then you would have 51. Why do you get 51? Because you have the regular 21 every day, the 3 when they open up the shahr, you have the 9 for the Korban Tamid, the 9 for the Korban Tamid Shal Shachris, and the 9 for the Korban Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. So that's 21. That's your base 21 that you have every day. Now, if you have the 12 for the Nisuch HaMayim, so we're up to, from 21, we go to 33. Now you have a Musaf for Sukkot, and you have a Musaf for Shabbos. That's 9 for the Musaf for Sukkot, and 9 for the Musaf of Shabbos. That's 18. 18 and 33 is 51. So therefore, why are you telling me the maximum amount is 48? If Rav Acha bar Chanina is right, so then you would have 51. So Gemara says, Rav Zeira, no. The reason why it's not 51 is Lefisha ain't token lepsichas sha'orim b'shabbos. It's because the blast that you blew to open up the gates, which we said is 21 every day, 3 to open up the gates and 9 for the 2 carbon tomates, so the 3 that you open up the gates, you don't do that on Shabbos. It's not docha Shabbos. You can't blow those blasts on Shabbos. Rava does not like this statement from Rav Zeira. Amar Rava, Rava says, man ha, this person, meaning Rav Zeira, the lo chosh l'kimcha, who is this person that didn't go and grind up his flour very well? He wasn't concerned about kemach, that he would have fine solas over here, fine flour. He just made a statement, in other words, that didn't really hold up well under analysis. As Rashi says, toche numotzi subin, he grinds up, but he has lots of chaff. They know choshe, she doesn't care about that. Klomar, marbid dvorim she'enam. In other words, he said a lot, but didn't say anything. His words are incorrect. And Rav Zeira says that the blasts weren't blown on Shabbos. Rava says that that's not true. Number one, chada, that we said, b'chol yom t'nan. In our Mishnah, we said every day. It didn't say every day but Shabbos. It said every single day of the year, you blow the base 21 blasts, the 3 to open up the gates, 9 for the carbon tamid shal shachris, 9 for the carbon tamid shal bein arbayim. Those 21 baths are inviolate. Doesn't seem to suggest that you don't blow them on Shabbos. That's point number one. And even if you want to tell me that they didn't blow them on Shabbos, inami kadodi ninu. Even if you wanted to say that you don't blow them on Shabbos, so then you'd have 48. So granted, you have only 48, but why didn't you tell me that? Even if you are right, Rav Zeira, that they didn't blow them on Shabbos, listenei Shabbos shebesol chachag, Hayusham Arbaim Mishmona. You should have said the 48, not for Erev Shabbos Shabbosol Chachag that you get 48, but it's a bigger chiddush to tell me that Shabbos Shabbosol Chachag there were 48. Why is that? Because you would have had two chidushim. The Shamas Minor Tarti. You would have taught me two things. Number one, Shamas Minor to Relez Ben Yaakov. We would have then had the opinion of Relez Ben Yaakov to show us that in fact they didn't blow on the 10th step, but they blew when they put the Arava, Zekifas Arava, Eitzalam Mizbeach. So that would be in Chiddush number one, to say that we pass like Relez Ben Yaakov. And Chiddush number two, Vishamas Minah, the Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. You would have taught us this dinner, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, that you blow it separate 9 blasts for each carbon musaf. So if you had told us the 48 that are from Shabbos Shabbosol Chachag, we'd know these two chidushim, that we paskin like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, and that we paskin like Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. So why didn't you give us that chiddush, even if you want to tell me that it's not 51? First of all, we think it's 51. It doesn't say that you don't blow on Shabbos, but even if you want to say that you don't blow on Shabbos, so then it would have been a bigger chiddush to tell us Shabbos Shabbosol Chachag rather than Erev Shabbos Shabbosol Chachag. That's why Rava doesn't like what Rezer says. So therefore, Elo Amar Rava, so Rava therefore says, Lefi she'ein tokim lemilui mayim. He says the reason is that on Shabbos there is no blowing for the milui mayim. Why is that? Because we didn't do the milui mayim on Shabbos. Remember, we learned previously that you did the milui mayim on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, all 12 of those blasts weren't blown on Shabbos because there was no process of milui mayim on Shabbos. He brought the tzlucha shel zav on Erev Shabbos. And that's why we didn't list over here Shabbos Shabbosol Chag that they had 51 or 48, because in fact there were 12 less. So if it was 51, then there were only 39. If it was 48, then there were only 36. And there, that's why it's not the most blessed, and that's why it listed Erev Shabbos Shabbosol Chag as 48, because Shabbos Shabbosol Chag has either 36 or 39. So that's what Rava tells us, Lefishe and Tokim, Lemi Lumayim Bishabis, the Botsre Tuva, because you're going to have less blasts, either 36 or 39 blasts, and therefore that's why he doesn't mention it. So our Kasha on Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina is resolved. His Shita is still a valid Shita, and that's the reason why it doesn't mention, if he was right, Shabbos. Shechol b'chag sukkos is because there would only be less bless, and that's why he didn't mention it. But Rav Chanina is right. Where our question is this, really? The list neinami Rosh Hashanah shechol yos b'shabbos. If Rav Chanina is right, so then you should have told us the din of bless for Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos. Because in this situation, you have three karbanos musaf. You have Rosh Hashanah's musaf, you have Shabbos' musaf, but it's also Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So you have three karban musafs that are brought on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, and that's a total of nine blasts for each karban musaf. So 3 times 9 is 27. If you add the 27 to the base of 21 that you have every day, that's also 48. And that adds up to 27 plus the 21 base, that would be 48. If Rav Acha Bar Chanina is correct, so why wasn't this listed as 48? That's another example of not only Erev Shabbos B'Socha Chag, but you'd also have Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. So my answer is no. Erev Shabbos Shabbosocha Chag, it's Drichlei. He specifically had to tell us, he wanted to teach us a Chiddush by telling us the Erev Shabbos Shabbosocha Chag is 48. Lashmian, to teach us, Kidder Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that we pass like Rosh Hashanah Yaakov, that you blew the 12 blasts for the Nisuch HaMayim, you didn't blow on the 10th step, but you blew by the Zekif HaSarova. So that was the Chiddush, why we mentioned Erev Shabbos Shabbosocha Chag, instead of mentioning Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Moritz says, that wasn't a good answer. Otu, mi kama lisneha v'lo lisneha. We weren't saying, why did you list Erev Shabbos Shabbosol Chag and not list Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos? We were asking, why didn't you list both of them? Since you're telling me that it's 48. So here's another example where there's 48. Lisneha v'lo lisneha. You should have listed Erev Shabbos Shabbos Chag and you should have listed Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Why did you leave one out? Someone says, because we left others out as well. Tana v'shir. We have a rule. Tanas aren't writing laundry lists. Tanas aren't people that list every single case under the sun. When they give an example, they give an example, but lav dafka, that there aren't other examples as well. The only time we say that the Tana should have listed something is if there's no other case other than the one that you left out. But as long as there are other cases, there's two cases, so then you can't point out why didn't he bring this one additional case. So over here too, Tana v'shir. He didn't list all the 48 because there are three 48s. So he only listed one as an example. If he'd list two, so then it wouldn't be that he left out one additional one. But he only lists one, so then it's possible he left out two cases. Again, this principle of Tana v'shir is a classical rule throughout Shas that the Tana will not leave out just one example. If the Tana is listing something, he'll either list the complete list, or if he lists a partial list, there'll be at least two things that he doesn't list. So the obvious question over here is, you're telling me that there's two 48s. There's Erev Shabbos Shabbosocha Chag, which we listed, and then you're telling me there's another one, Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, that he didn't list, because Tana v'Shir, there are others as well. So the obvious question is, in addition to Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, there's 48, what other example is there of 48 that the Tana didn't list? Mashir, what else did he leave out? The high shir, that you're saying this is a case of Tana v'Shir, that he left out more than one case. So the Gemara answers, in addition to the two that we just mentioned, Erev Shabbos was Chag, and Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, there's also Shir Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, they brought a tremendous number of korbanos, the Korban Pesach. On Yudalad Nisan, we said we brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Korban Pesach sometimes. And therefore, remember, we learned when we did Pesachim that they used to bring them in three kitos. There were three groupings. And they would sing Hallel during each grouping. And they blew, during the Hallel, that they said, each time they blew three blasts, and they said Hallel three times in each of the three kitos to continue bringing the Korban Pesach. So there would be 9 blasts during the first kat, there would be 9 blasts during the second kat, and there would be 9 blasts during the third kat. So therefore there would be 27 additional blasts that they blew on Erev Pesach. And Erev Pesach, of course, had the base 21. So 27 from all the hollow blasts that they blew, plus the base 21 is 48. It didn't list Erev Pesach. So the Tana didn't list Rosh Hashanah Sholios B'Shabbos, and he didn't list Erev Pesach. And he only gave one example of 48, but there are at least 2 other examples of 48, and therefore the Tana is fine. Now we turn to the Nundalot Amid Beis and question this. Mora says, no. If you're telling me that we didn't list the 48 blasts that are blown in Erev Pesach, no, that wouldn't be good. Lav Shiru, then that would not be a 48, because who is the author of the Mishnah in Erev Pesach? Dohomani Rabbi Yehuda hi. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is the author that says, the Omar, Mimeyem shel kas shlishis lo higia lomar ahavti ki yishma Hashem. He said that the people were so zealous in coming to the Beis HaMikdash that almost all the people came in the first kat. Those people who came a little bit late, they came and filled up the second kat. So the first group they said the hallel 3 times. The second group, they said the hallel 3 times. The third group was so sparse, everybody was reason to do the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, that the third kat was very small, and they didn't even have enough Korban Pesach to go around to sing the hallel even one time. They didn't even get past the first paragraph, the one small handful of people that came, they were able to bring all their Korban Pesachs before they finished the first paragraph. So it never occurred. Miyameyam, in all the years that they had, the Kach Shlishis never reached up to the second paragraph of Hallel, Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem. Mipnei Shayu Amo Muata, because there was so few people in this third Kach. Everybody wanted to come as fast as possible. So therefore, they didn't blow 27 blasts on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that they never blew 27 blasts. So either they blew 9 for the first kat, 9 for the second kat, and only 3 for the third kat, and therefore the total number of blasts would be 9 plus 9 plus 3. So that would be 21. So 21 and 21 is 42. That's not 48. And therefore, that is a kasha. How can you tell me that Erev Pesach is 48? It's only, according to Rabbi Yehuda, going to be 42. So where it says, Ho'u Kimna, the Lo Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Girsa that we have. The Besaros HaShas, and Rashi also has this Girsa, says, Ha'amris Reisha, the Lo Rabbi Yehuda. But we already explained that our Mishnah doesn't go like Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, we had a Machlokas in yesterday's year. Rabbi Yehuda says that there weren't 21 and 48 minimum and maximum blasts. He said there were 7 and 16. He counted the Tkiya, the Trua and the Tkiya, as 1. So he said instead of 21, there's 7. And instead of 48, he would say that there are 16. So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is not the author of our Mishnah. So therefore, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says there are only 42, that doesn't trouble us, because the Tana of our Mishnah would say that there are 48. Rashi explains, because he would say that they blew the 9 blasts at the beginning of each kat. So even though they didn't go around all the way, nevertheless, ein chosim en atkios klum, sheb tchilas kriyoso token. They would blow the 9 blasts at the very beginning of the hollow. And therefore, all 3 kats said hallel 3 times. The way the Tanakhama of Yehuda understood it was that the third kat didn't need to finish off 3 times the reading of the hallel because there were so few people. But they read it 3 times. They started it the third time. So each kat had 3 readings of the hallel. And since you blew the blast at the beginning of the hallel, even the third kat, which had a minimum number of people, read the hallel, or started the hallel at least 3 times, and since you blew the 3 blasts at the beginning of each hallel, even the third kat had 9 blasts. So therefore, we've established that our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, our Mishnah goes according to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda in Psachim, that says that there are 48 blasts, therefore, Tana Vishir works out perfectly fine. Gemara still says this is incorrect. Gemara says, maybe not. Our Tana clearly disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda in regards to whether you view the Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya as 1, like Rabbi Yehuda does, or is viewed as 3. So the Tana of our Mishnah clearly disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda over here that we don't view them as 1, we view them as 3. But maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in Psachim that the third kat never got so far that they blew any blasts, because he holds that they blew the blasts during the hollow and they didn't get beyond the first part. And the Tana of our Mishnah agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that they didn't blow 27 blasts during the Hallel on Erev Pesach, because the third group didn't have a blast at all, or maybe it had 3 blasts at most, but it didn't have 27 blasts. It either had only 18 blasts from the first 2 kats, or maybe it had an extra 3 blasts at the beginning of the third kat. So therefore, You can't automatically say that this is another example of 48 blasts, the ton of Vishir, maybe not. Shmuel says, okay, fine. Elamai Shir, what is the other 48 that we left out? The High Shir, it's this one. Here's another one that's 48. In addition to the one that was mentioned, Er Shabbos Shecho B'Chag, and then we didn't mention Rosh Hashanah Shecho B'Yos B'Shabbos, here's the third one that would make it that there are two that are left out. Mashir, High Shir. He Shir, he left out, Erev HaPesach Shecholios Be'erev Shabbos. Oh, Erev Pesach that falls out on Erev Shabbos. So granted, you don't have the 27 blasts according to this Tana that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Psachim, that they only blew a total of 21 blasts. They blew 9 for the first cast, 9 for the second cast, and let's say 3 for the third cast. So that's only a total of 9 plus 9 plus 3 is 21, and you add 21 to the base 21, you only get 42, but if it's Erev Pesach, Shecholios Be'erev Shabbos, so then there were an extra 6 blasts that they blew to tell people to stop doing the Malacha. Like we said, the first 3 blasts are people far away from the fields, they should stop working, because they have a long walk into town, so that was the first blast. Second blast was the people in town, they should close up their shops. The third blast was to finish off all your preparations, your Hatmana, and things like that for Shabbos, and then they do the 3 blasts to announce that Shabbos is here. So there are an extra 6 blasts on Erev Pesach, all yours, but Erev Shabbos, and that's the other 48. So therefore, we do have, in fact, Ton of Vishir. We have Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos and Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Erev Shabbos. So there were two other 48s. So therefore, the fact that the Tana only listed Erev Shabbos Shechol Yos B'Chag, that's not a problem. Ton of Vishir. And Rav Acha Bar Chanina is correct in telling us that, in fact, for every Karban Musaf, you build 9 blasts, and it's not a stira that we didn't list Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. All right. Now we go back and quote our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah, Vein Mosifin al Arba Ushmona, that we never have more than 48. Is that really true? The Gemara says, and I had alluded to this, I said there are occasional times that we blow more than 48. When I said the Mishnah, I was very careful in the way I expressed it, because now we're going to ask Akasha, are there really never more than 48 below? But I'll show you that you could have more than 48. Va'ika Erev HaPesach, when Erev Pesach Shecholios B'Shabbos, when Erev Pesach, like this past year, comes out on Shabbos. If Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, so then you have 51, or possibly even 57, depends which opinion to hold like. The Il Rabbi Yehuda Chamshin V'Chada, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the third cot never blew more than 3 blasts, so then you have the 21 blasts, according to Rabbi Yehuda, of Erev Pesach, that they blew during the Hallel. You have the base of 21, so that gets up to 42. And then you have the 9 for the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. So 42 and 9 is 51. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that you have 51. And if you go like the Rabbanan, who argued with Rabbi Yehuda, so then there were 27, not 21 blasts for the Erev Pesach Hallel blast. So then you'd have an extra 6 more. And you'd add it up to be 57. Ila Rabbanan, who argued Rabbi Yehuda, Chamshin V'Sheva. So how can you tell me that no day ever had more than 48? There could be either 51 according to Rabbi Yehuda or 57 according to the Chachamim for Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. So why didn't we list that? So the Gemara says, no. When we wanted to give an answer, it's 48 in a normal year, not in a strange calendar year that Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, which doesn't happen every year. So when the Tana of our Mishnah said, Kikitani, midi de ise b'chol shana, he said 48 is the normal maximum that you have in any year. Granted, Erev Pesach, Cholios B'Shabbos would be 51 or 57, but the lase b'chol shana v'shana, since it doesn't occur every year, loktani. He was only listing every year there could be 48. Sometimes it could be 51 or 57, but that wasn't his interest. He was saying the normal maximum every year is at least 48. Mark says, if that's so, so then wait a second. Atu Erev Shabbos Shem Socha Chag, his baseline one of saying the 48 was Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, so that doesn't occur every year. Mi Yisa B'chol Shana. How can you not have an Erev Shabbos that falls out in Sukkot every year? Sukkot is 7 days. He says, depends. Zimnim D'lo Mishkacha Slei, the Hechi Dabi. Sometimes it could happen that you don't have an Erev Shabbos that falls out during Sukkot. How could that possibly be? It doesn't occur all the time. How come? Hechi Dabi. Kigon Shechol Yontif Rishon B'Erev Shabbos. When the first day of Sukkot were to fall on a Friday. Now, the way our calendar is set up, we have for Rosh Hashanah, Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah which is also it's always going to be the first day of Sukkot, can never fall out on a Adu, on Aleph, Dalet, or Vav, on Sunday, on Wednesday, or on Friday. So the way our calendar is set up, this can never happen. Well, we'll discuss this in a moment. But when it was done by Re'iyah, when the witnesses came and testified that they saw the new moon, so then it could technically happen that the first day of Sukkot could fall out on a Friday. And if the first day of Sukkot falls out on a Friday, so then there is no Erev Shabbos b'Sochachag, because here it would be Erev Shabbos that was on Sukkot, and they didn't blow the blast of the Nisuch HaMayim on Yontif either. They didn't blow it on Shabbos, and they didn't blow it, because on Shabbos they took the water beforehand, on Yontif also, they didn't blow the blast of the Nisuch HaMayim, because the Simchas Beis HaShoeva started only Matzei Yontif, and therefore there was no additional blast, the Nisuch HaMayim, on Yontif as well. So therefore, when Erev Shabbos falls out on the first day of Sukkot, so then there isn't going to be an Erev Shabbos B'Socha Chag that you're going to have the 48 blasts. So that's the Gemara's question. If you're telling me that he listed 48 because there's always 48 every year, so then this scenario that he listed, Erev Shabbos B'Socha Chag, doesn't come out every year also. Because when the first day of Sukkot is on Erev Shabbos, there will be no Erev Shabbos B'Socha Chag, because it's not B'Socha Chag, it's the first day of the Chag. And therefore, the next Erev Shabbos will already be no longer be Sukkot. It will already be Shmini Atzeres. So here's a kash. If you're telling me you're listing something that occurs every year, the case that you listed, Erev Shabbos Shem Socha Chag, also doesn't count every year. Well, says, no, that's not a good kasha. Because ki mekalinon yom tov rishon be'erev Shabbos. If the rabbis were to see that the first day of Sukkot is going to be on a Friday, it's going to be on Erev Shabbos, you know what they're going to do? They're going to change it around. Midchei dachinon lei. They're going to make Elul have an extra day. So therefore, instead of Elul only having 29 days, they'll make Elul have 30 days. And therefore, that will delay the coming of Sukkot to not be on Erev Shabbos. It will make it come out on Shabbos. Oh, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot can come out on Shabbos. And the reasoning for this is as follows. My time, the rabbis didn't want to have Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot come out on Erev Shabbos. Because if that were to happen, Kivan the Ikla, Yom Tov, Rishon, Shochag, Lios, Erev Shabbos, if it were to be that Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, they both come out on the same day, were to be on a Friday, so then that would mean that Yom Kippur would come out on a Sunday. Yom HaKippurim, Emes HaVeh, Bechad B'Shabbos, and we don't want Yom Kippur to come out on a Sunday, for two reasons, as Rashi says. Rashi brings down, because if Rachmana Lislan, a person would die. So then you'd have a person dying, let's say Friday afternoon before Shabbos started. They couldn't bury him, so the dead person would be around in the hot Mediterranean sun all day Shabbos and all day Sunday, Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to do malach on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is almost essentially the same dinim as Shabbos. The punishment is different. For Yom Kippur, the punishment is kares. For Shabbos, the punishment is skeel if a person, Rachmana Lislan, intentionally transgressed them. But you're not allowed to do anything on Yom Kippur that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the Isurim and Malach are the same, and therefore you can't bury a mace, and therefore it would be Masriach. The mace would be Masriach. That's reason number one that Rashi brings down. Second reason that Rashi brings down is Mishum Yarkaya, that there would be a run on the fruits and vegetables, so to say. There would be a run on food, because people would need to have two meals. They would need to have a meal for Shabbos, and they need to have a big meal for Matzei Yom Kippur, and therefore there would be a tremendous buying of food on Thursday, and that would lead people to think that there would be a famine coming up, and as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah will Emir Tzashem teach us. So therefore, Mikum Yarkaya, the concern on the food, and Mishum Mesaya, the concern of the mace being Masriach, the rabbis never wanted to have Yom Kippur come out on either a Friday or on a Sunday. And that's why Lo Adu Rosh, that's why Rosh Hashanah can never be on a Wednesday, because then Yom Kippur would be on a Friday, always 2 days after the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And that's why Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot can never fall out on a Friday, because then Yom Kippur will be on Sunday. So that's what the Gemara tells us. Hilkach dachino lei. If the rabbis see that Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot is going to fall out on a Friday or on a Wednesday, so then they would make Elul and Iber Chodesh and have 30 days instead of 29 days. More questions, is really? Umi dachino lei. Would they really do this? Because we learned that Chelvei Shabbos Kraven B'Yom HaKippurim. That if you have leftover fats on Shabbos that you didn't have a chance to burn on Shabbos, you're allowed to burn them. They're all Docha Shabbos. You could have burned them on Shabbos, but if you didn't burn them on Shabbos, so then you're allowed to go and burn them on Yom Kippur, which is Saturday night. Yom Kippur was Sunday, so Saturday night is Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, you're still allowed to continue burning the fats then. The Amar of Zera said, Ki avinon be Rav bebavel. When we learned by the Beis Medrash of Rav in Bavel, Hava Amre, we said, Ha detanya, that which we learned in the Braisa, Yom HaKippurim Shechol Yoseh Erev Shabbos, when Yom Kippur comes out on a Friday, lower your token, they wouldn't blow the shofar, meaning they wouldn't blow the shofar to say that now you have to stop doing melacha, because there was no melacha on Yom Kippur, so they didn't blow the six blasts that they normally blew on Erev Shabbos when Yom Kippur was on Friday. And likewise, the Braisa said, if Yom Kippur came out of Matzi Shabbos, lo yom avdilin. You didn't make Kavdala, because you only make Kavdala when you're going from a higher Kedusha to a lower Kedusha. And the same Kedusha that you find by Shabbos, you find by Yom Kippur in terms of Issa Malacha. So they didn't blow any blast when Yom Kippur was on Friday to tell you to stop doing Malacha, because you weren't allowed to do Malacha. And they didn't make Kavdala on Matzi Shabbos when Yom Kippur was on Sunday, because there was no diminution, if you wish, in the Kedusha. The same Issa Malacha applied both to Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So when they learned that Braisa, Rav Zera said, when we learned this Braisa in Bavel, Lohu Mavdilin and Lohu Token, so we said originally, Divrei HaKolhi. They thought that this was a opinion that everybody agreed to. However, Ki Skilas Lawsam, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he left Bavel, and now he learned in Eretz Yisrael, he learned differently. Ashke Chosei, he met up with Rabbi Yehuda, Rei de Rishimun ben Pasi. He met up with Rabbi Yehuda, who was the son of Rishimun ben Pasi. De Yosef Kama, he was sitting and learning this Braisa, and he said, this is not Divrei HaKolhi. He said, this is only the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one that said that the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Yom Kippur are exactly the same. Rabbi Akiva held the opinion that the only difference between them was the punishment, but the Kedusha level was the same. As opposed to the Chacham that argued, Rabbi Akiva said, no, the Shabbos is a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Kippur. In any event, what do you see over here? The Braisa clearly says that Yom Kippur did fall sometimes out on Friday. They didn't make the kiosk when it fell out on Friday, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, and that it sometimes fell out on Sunday, and they didn't make Havdalah, then Matzah Shabbos. But what do you clearly see? That Yom Kippur could fall on Friday or on Sunday. So one says, Lokasha, HaRabbanon, HaCherem Hi. There are two different opinions over here. The opinion that says that Yom Kippur will never fall out on a Friday or on a Sunday, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. However, the opinion that's brought down in this Braisa, that would be the opinion of the Acherim. The Acherim is normally Rav Meir, Lav Dafka always, but that is the opinion of the Acherim. And what is that opinion? The Tanya. Acherim Omrim, it says that the Acherim opinion is that Ein Bein Atzeres LeAtzeres, that when you go from one calendar year to the next calendar year, and you want to say that Shavuos is on a certain day in calendar year number one, so next year there will be, what day of the week will Shavuos come out on? Ein Bein Atzeres LeAtzeres, there's no difference between Shavuos from first year to Shavuos of the second year, or Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah LeRosh Hashanah, or the day that Rosh Hashanah falls out in the first year, what they will fall out in the second year, El Arbo Yom Muvad. It will only be 4-day difference, because this opinion holds that there was normally 354 days in a calendar year, and therefore, if you divide 350 days, it divides evenly into 7, right? 7 goes into 350 50 times, there are 50 weeks, and there are 4 days left over. So there'll be 4 additional days to whatever day Shavuos was, you add 4 days. Whatever day Rosh Hashanah was, you add 4 days. That's what this Braisa teaches us. And the Imhoisa Shonim Uberes, there will be Chamisha. There will be an extra year because you'd have a leap month that had 29 days. So 28 days goes in normally 4 weeks. And then the 29th day will be one additional day. So this Tana, this Braisa, is the Acherim that says you always had an exact number of months that are 29 days and an exact number of months that are 30 days, 6 months of 29 days, 6 months of 30 days. And therefore, each year was exactly 354 days. And this Tana therefore holds that they didn't go and make Elul an extra day of 30 days instead of 29 if they felt that there was a need to. And therefore, according to this Braisa, according to this Tana, the Acherim, it would possibly be that Yom Kippur could fall out on a Friday or on a Sunday because they didn't make changes in Elul. But according to the Chachamim, they would make a change in Elul so that Yom Kippur would never fall out on a Friday or on a Sunday. So therefore, there is a machlokas between these two opinions, and therefore there's no kasha. How come our Tana listed Erev Shabbos Shabbosoch HaChag, it doesn't come out every year. Yes, he holds that it does come out every year because he holds that Sukkot can never begin on a Friday, and therefore there is no kasha. Why he listed that as the example of every year 48 cases, and as we pointed out, there's no problem of Tana V'Shiyah, and therefore everything falls nicely into place. However, the Gemara is now going to go back still and question Rav Achar Bar Chanina's statement that you blow separate blasts for each Korban Musaf. The Gemara says, Meisvei. Rosh Chodesh Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. When Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, so you should blow, according to Rav Achar Bar Chanina, 9 blasts for Rosh Chodesh's Musaf and 9 blasts for the Shabbos Musaf. Now, this Brisa seems to suggest, however, that you don't do both. Rosh Chodesh Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, the Brisa says the Shir is Shel Rosh Chodesh and it's Doche, the Shir Shel Shabbos. It pushes aside the Shir Shel Shabbos, implying that there's only one shir that is sung, and therefore that would imply that only one set of blasts would be done, and therefore that goes against what Rav Achar Bar Chanina said. If Rav Achar Bar Chanina is right, so then it should have said Lema de Shabbos, you should say the shir for Shabbos, and the Lema de Rosh Chodesh, and also the shir for Rosh Chodesh. But it said that the shir for Rosh Chodesh is Docha the shir for Shabbos, implying that Rav Achar Bar Chanina is wrong. So Mor says, who says? Amar Safar, no, my docha. What does it mean over here when it says the Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh is docha Shir Shal Shabbos? It means it's docha lekadem. It means that it pushes it aside as to which one we go first. Normally we would say that Shabbos should go ahead of Rosh Chodesh because of the principle of Tadir, Shein Tadir. But here, Rosh Chodesh is pushing ahead of Shabbos. So Mor says, how come? But my, we do have the rule, Tadir, Shein Tadir, Tadir Kodem, so why isn't Shabbos coming before Rosh Chodesh? Why do we allow, in this situation, Rosh Chodesh to come before Shabbos? But it's not a kasha Rav Achar Bar Chanina, because both are being done. So too, you'd blow both sets of blasts for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and Musaf Shel Shabbos. It's not a kasha Rav Achar Bar Chanina, just a kasha on why they did Rosh Chodesh before they did Shabbos. So that we have a simple answer for Omer of Yochanan, Leida Shehuk by Rosh Chodesh Mizmano, because they wanted to make sure that everybody knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So therefore, they would publicize Rosh Chodesh. Everybody knew it was Shabbos. They didn't have to publicize, so to say, that it's Shabbos, but they wanted everybody to know that it was Rosh Chodesh. This way, as Rashi says, Shekitshua Kilchoso, the Beis Din said it at the right time, and people shouldn't make a mistake to know when Rosh Chodesh is. Where it says, Bahai Hekera Avdinon, really? Is it necessary to make this additional Hekera for Rosh Chodesh, that we have the Shir for Rosh Chodesh before the Shir Shel Shabbos? We already have a Hekera. Hekera Achrito Avdinon, because we already have a Hekera that it's Rosh Chodesh. Now the Girsa that we have is the Tanya, but the Mesoros HaShas in those Vav tells us that this is actually a Mishnah and it should be Ditnan. This is a Mishnah that we find in Shkolim. We learned this not that long ago, that the Chel Veitomet Shel Shachar Nitonim Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Mizrach, that they would place when they had multiple Korbanos to go place on the Kevesh, so they would first go Shech the Korbanos and bring up the fats to the Kevesh, and then ultimately later on bring them from the Kevesh up into the Mizbeach. So on a day when you had Rosh Chodesh, as well as it was Shabbos, so they put the regular Korban Tamid, Itanim Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Mizrach, they put them on the lower half of the Mizbeach, on the right side, which as you're walking up the Mizbeach is the eastern side. And Mishal Musafin, the Musaf Shel Shabbos, Nitonim Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Marav. They put that on the left side, which was the western side, as you're walking up the Mizbeach from the south to the north. And then they put the Musaf Shel Rosh Chodesh, Nitonim Tachas Karkov, was underneath the Karkov. The Karkov was another word for the Yesod, which is 6 Amah high. So they put it below the 6 Amah point, which is higher up on the Mizbeach, HaMizbeach, Tachas Karkov Mizbeach Ulamata, but it would be a little bit below that, and this was on the upper half of the Kevesh. So there was already a Hekka that it was Rosh Chodesh. So why did you need this additional Hekka that it was Rosh Chodesh? We turn to Nun Hei Amud Aleph, the Amar of Yochanan. The reason that they did this, Leida Shehuk Bar Rosh Chodesh Bizmano. This was to tell people that Rosh Chodesh was set in its right time. So the Gemara says, why do you need a separate Hekka? We already have one. So the Gemara says, no, Trei Hekka Ravdina. We need two over here. The Chozai Hai, Chozi. The Chozi Hai, Chozi. Because some people see this one and not the other one. And therefore, make sure you have two Hekkas so those that managed to only see one, but at least know that it's Rosh Chodesh. One last question. Where it says, Meisvei, the Tani Rav Bar Shmuel. Rav Bar Shmuel said, Yochol kishem shetokim al Shabbos b'fnei atzmo, v'al Rosh Chodesh b'fnei atzmo, kach yutokin al kol musaf b'musaf. So here, Rav Achar Bar Chanina said that you would be tokeh on everyone. But this brisa, this brought down by Rav Bar Shmuel, says that you might have thought that you should blow separate blasts for Rosh Chodesh b'fnei atzmo and for Shabbos b'fnei atzmo. just like each Shabbos gets its own set of blasts, and each Rosh Chodesh gets its own set of blasts, you might have thought also, kach yu token al kol musaf v'musaf, that if you have combinations of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh together, that you should blow a separate blast on each one. So no, Rav Acha Bar Chanina is wrong. This brisa says, Talmud Lomar, uv roshei chodshechem. It says that when it's Rosh Chodesh, you only blow one set of blasts for all of the musafim. Tomorrow, in tomorrow's show, we'll explain why this is so. We're not going to get to that today, but for right now, assuming that this is true, so this is Tiyufta, the Rav Acha, in fact, Tiyufta. This would schlug up Rav Acha Bar Chanina's statement that you blow separately for each Musaf. It's Hashem in tomorrow's shir. My Talmudah will learn out what this exact Rosh is. With this, we conclude today's shir.